Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say I'm once again joined by the Sunday Mail's chief football writer, Scott McDermott, to reflect on another victory just for Philip Clement, undefeated after three games, 2-1 win over Hearts on Sunday, closed the gap at the top of the Scottish Premiership to Celtic to 5 points. Scott, first of all, hi, how are you doing, first of all?
I'm good. How are you, Gav?
Good, good. I want to take you back to Saturday, first of all, because I don't know about you, Hibs nil, Celtic nil. I think Celtic have left it late so often, you know, and Rangers fans have been deflated, waiting for and hoping for Celtic to slip up. There was the game at Motherwell earlier this season when Motherwell equalised an injury time and Celtic still went back to get a winner. We witnessed it so many times during Ange Postecoglou's time in charge as well. Finally, they did drop something on Saturday, 0-0. Hibs, the goal didn't arrive, which many expected. That opened the door a wee bit for Rangers, gave them an opportunity to close the gap. I don't know about you, but I didn't feel a sense of even a lift from Rangers fans, just talking to fans and even just sort of looking around. I just wonder if that is a kind of reflection of just the lack of sort of belief in this team and also the ability to win the league this season. Did you get that feeling? Or, I mean, normally when you're in a real title race and the other one slips up, we've seen it before, it's like, right, come on, come on. I didn't really get that impression, did you?
I think you're right, Gav. I mean, we probably only kind of felt it when the Danilo goal goes in the 94th minute or whatever, and that kind of period injury time, and then obviously the kind of celebration at full time. That's when you kind of felt the fans thinking, right, let's go. No, we're kind of back in it. We've gained 2 points. No, we've got a wee chance here. But I think you're right. I think probably before the game and getting into the game, probably is that bit of lack of belief. I think you've probably hit the nail on the head. I think that's the issue. But more worryingly, I would say regarding that is the Rangers' performance in the game, especially at the start of the game against Hearts. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they had the belief, because in years gone by, it's probably what you're touching on there, years gone by when Celtic have dropped points and the opportunity's been there to go and close the gap or gain more of an advantage or stretch further ahead, there has been a real urgency about Rangers' play, you know, from the off.
Yeah,
I thought that was lacking. I mean, I thought that was one of the key components of a really poor performance for Rangers on Sunday. I was staggered, actually, just the real lack of urgency and lack of tempo in their play, given what had happened 24 hours earlier. No, as you say, when that door opens and you've got a chance, an unexpected chance to close the gap and gain a couple of points. So I think that, never mind the supporters, I think for me that would be more of a worry, is that there didn't seem to be a belief in the players at the start of the Hearts game that they could go and close the gap. And obviously they came kind of perilously close to not taking advantage of Celtic's slip-up.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm saying to you, I was surprised sort of around Saturday tea time and even getting into Sunday that there was more. I mean, maybe it's just me. I mean, maybe there was more of that, you know, around the place, you know, I don't know, in pubs before the game or whatever. But I'm talking just in general about, you know, social media and forums and things like that. I don't know whether it's just because they've been let down so often this season, there was a kind of a, well, you know, we'll blow it again. And of course, as the clock's at 88 minutes or whatever, and as you're saying, for that whole period when there was that lack of urgency, I'm thinking, well, here's why, here's the evidence of why it was so flat. And I suppose, I mean, it's still a big, it's still quite a big gap. You know, there's so much still to do, but 5 points isn't, you know, I mean, you're thinking you get the chance to go five, bearing in mind they could have started the day 10 behind had Celtic won, you know, I mean, 10.
Cannot underestimate the importance of that win and closing the gap. I mean, as you say, all right, it's still a gap, but the fact that it was so unexpected from Celtic, I mean, I watched Celtic on the Wednesday night against Atletico Madrid. I was then at Easter Road to see them on Saturday in Grimsby's game. No, there's no way that you think they're going to slip up, even as you say, getting into the last 10 minutes and they're throwing subs on. You almost just expect Hibs to concede late on and Celtic to get that kind of customary late goal. And it didn't happen. I mean, Celtic have played 10 games. They've won 8 and drawn 2. So, I mean, these slip-ups so far have been pretty rare. So when one comes along, you need to make sure you hammer home that advantage. And that's why Sunday was so crucial for Rangers in getting that win.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, psychologically, I mean, I think everyone accepts that Philip Clement can only do so much. You know, he's spoken about on the magic wand, and I think fans will certainly, you know, forgive him. You know, even if they had slipped up, they wouldn't have been pinning the blame on him. But psychologically, the fact they did get that win, I mean, in those circumstances, how big can that be psychologically going into the fact they're playing the same opponents in the semi-final on Sunday in the Viaplay Cup semi-final, and in terms of the league, just to sort of give everyone belief and give the place a lift?
Listen, it should be big, but the proof is in the pudding, Gav. I mean, they need to go and show that. You know, as you touched on, these players, I feel these players have let down these fans far too often. But you're right, the manner of that win, you know, the fact that they did keep going to the end. And listen, as I said, I thought it was a really poor performance, but you have to give them some credit for showing that kind of character to keep going. You know, they get a wee bit of a break with the penalty, but even after that, you know, it would have been easy. I've seen this Rangers team in the past get that one goal to level it and almost kind of breathe that sigh of relief that they've not lost the game without actually thinking, let's go on and win it. The fact that they did do that and they produced a real moment of quality, one of the kind of rare moments of quality that they'd showed in the game, genuine quality from Tavernier's cross, and then Danilo, his movement was excellent, and then a great header as well. The fact that they produced that so late should help them, and they deserve credit for that, and Clement deserves credit for that as well, because ultimately it's his team that he's put out there to get that victory. So they deserve a bit of credit for that. Will it give them a real boost? As I say, it should. I mean, they should be going into the game tomorrow night, and then obviously the semi-final on Sunday on a high, with a bit more confidence, a bit more belief. But as I say, time will tell whether that's the case. I still think this team, this group of players, are miles away from where Philippe Clement wants them to be. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a bit of time. But no, they need to go and win the next two games for sure.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How much of it do you think can be down to him, that spirit and character? And how much of that do you think he can have instilled in the short period of time? I'm looking back at the Sparta-Prague game, even where obviously they were totally outplayed in that first half. But, I mean, just to even be able to ride that out, you know, and come away from Prague with a 0-0 draw, I mean, it's
Yeah, but listen, it's hard to tell because you're not in there, you're not in the training ground or in the dressing room. But I think you do have to give him a bit of credit. I mean, from the outside, for a start, he looks like a guy that you wouldn't mess with. You wouldn't get in the wrong side of. He's got a bit of presence about him.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bit of aura. He's quite a kind of intimidating figure physically. So certainly initially, it looks like these players are certainly going to graft for him and certainly want to play for him and make an impression. You're right, the resilience they showed in Prague was a sign of that, albeit again, on the ball, another kind of poor performance or not up to the standard. And similar on Sunday, not what he'd have wanted. I know he spoke about the possession they had and some chances, but again, deep down he'll know that's not up to the standard that he's looking for. But as I said, they kept going. They kept going to the end, they dug it out. You do need these qualities, of course you do, if you're going to go and win leagues and win cups. And I wonder as well just about the influence of Alec Ray and Stephen Davis in there as well. But maybe less so Stephen Davis, because he's a different type of character. But in terms of that spirit and can I never say die, we all know what Alec Ray was like as a player. We know him as a guy as well. I would like to think, as I say, I don't know because I'm not in there, but I would like to think that a bit of his kind of desire and determination and attitude is maybe rubbing off on these players. When we spoke to Philip Clement on Friday and we asked him about Alec Ray and the kind of qualities that he's got, one of the things I thought was really interesting was that as well as the kind of knowing the club and knowing the history and stuff, which you would expect, one of the things he said was that even in the short space of time, he can see that Alex has got a really good relationship with the players. I think the expression he used was he knows the dynamic of the dressing room. And I thought that was quite important because I think it was a hint that Alec Ray might well get kept on long term as part of Clement's backroom team. But if you look a bit deeper, maybe, as you say, maybe these kind of last two performances where they have had to dig in and show a bit of grit, maybe Alex has played a part in that as well.
Yeah. Also, you see that clip that the club tweeted out just of Clement's reaction, in the touchline. I think fans seem to be quite taken by that. I think Michael Beale, maybe it's not to say look, managers have to be roaring and full of, I mean, there are managers who are calm, on the touchline, but I don't know whether maybe just at this time that they feel they want to see that for it to be visible, and that's the kind of manager he is, and that's probably what they've needed.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's definitely a time for it, Gav. It's about picking your moments, and I think you're spot on. I think the fans, the predicament they're in just now, they want something to cling on to. They want to see a bit of passion, a bit of fight for the cause. And Clement has come in, he's probably kind of sensed that and grasped that. And I think that's why you did see him see his kind of emotions come out at the end of the game. Listen, it's not a criticism of Michael Beale. As you say, some people are just like that, but that just wasn't his thing. But when you think back to before, when Steven Gerrard came in, that was also a time in Rangers kind of history where the fans needed something. They needed that bit of grit and bit of passion, bit of desire. And I think Gerrard cottoned onto that pretty quickly. And I'm not saying he played up to it, but he knew... He knew that's what the punters wanted, and I get the impression that Clement knows that as well. I mean, I think after the Hibs game, he actually said that the most pleasing thing about his whole day was he felt that connection was back between the fans and the players. That's something he's been quite big on since he came in. So, I don't think it's any coincidence that you saw him act like that at the end of the game.
Because it's just that contrast of the image of Michael Beale towards the end, when they're losing. And I know it's easy, because they're losing, and it's all part of that whole image, but the hands in the pockets and as if he'd kind of run out of ideas, which he obviously had, but it's a contrast to that,
Yeah, I mean, and he also, again, it's not a criticism. As I say, it's just the way some people are, but even during games, Michael Beale, he wasn't very... know, he wasn't very animated on the touchline. Of course, he would kind of give instructions, mid-game, but Clement is quite demonstrative on the touchline, even when it's just trying to G players up and get them going. I mean, he was at it practically the full game on Sunday, just, as I say, it probably ties in with that lack of urgency I spoke about at the start. He probably sensed that as well. But at least he was out there, you know, with the arms kind of flailing and just wanting to get, you know, trying to get people up for it. It sounds like a simple thing and it's a bit cliched, but fans like to see that. Do you know what I mean? And when they get the, you know, when they get the victory at the end in that manner and it all kind of comes together, then, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, that's the positives. Oh, well, I see that's the positives. No, you've touched on the negative, which was the kind of the performance up until the kind of the goal and the lack of urgency. But yeah. I mean, two players in particular are getting it in the neck, Cyril Dessers, Sam Lammers. It's just not happened for them since he joined in the summer. Fans calling for them to be dropped. Charlie Miller and Andy Newport are regular contributor on here, well-earned day off again. He spoke to Charlie Miller in today's paper, says, you know, he spoke about guys like Peter Van Vorsen, and there's been others, you know, there have been other guys over the years, and, well, he mentioned Salenko, I think.
Yeah.
And I know, you never really managed it. Watersmith would have taken them out of the team, and Clement's got a bit of a kind of predicament. There's not many people we can replace him with. Obviously, Daniil will come on, but even he's still coming back after his facial injury. What do you think? How much longer can he stick by these two guys? Why is it not happening for them? You watched Lammers in pre-season. We all did. He was one of the few bright sparks, but it's not happening. Can he just not handle the pressure? Is it to do with the style? What do you think?
I think it's just a real lack of quality. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just comes down.
You look at where they've played. I mean, it can't just be a lack of quality. I mean,
you look at where they've played, but you also look at their records in the last couple of years before they arrived at Rangers, and that was the big concern. Anyone looking closely into those signings, and we did it ourselves.
Yeah.
The goal return, the actual output for these players in the last few years at their previous clubs wasn't great. I mean, listen, with Dessers, it's hard to work out because, I mean, the guy started a Europa Conference final a couple of years ago for Feyenoord. I mean, you look at him now, I mean, my God, it's hard to see how his game has, you know, seemingly deteriorated from that point because, listen, we're not only here to like, bash players and slaughter guys. I've spoke to Dessers a couple of times after games and he seems like a really good guy and his attitude's right and he wants to do well and he loves the club, he loves being here, but there's just no getting away from the fact that he's offering Rangers absolutely nothing up front. And I do think that's having an impact on the rest of the team. I mean, anybody that's played football, no matter what level, you need to know that your main man up front is going to hold the ball up, he's going to win you fouls, he's going to get you into the game, he's going to dig you out a hole by getting a goal, he's going to bully centre-halves. For the team to function properly, You need that for your centre-forward. And honestly, without being unkind to him, he is offering absolutely nothing. And no, you're saying how long do you give it? I don't think Clement can give it any longer. I mean, put it this way, I think it's absolutely crucial that they get Danilo starting the semi-final at Hampden on Sunday. Now, they're unfortunate in the sense they've got a really tough midweek game first. And judging by what the manager said, it doesn't sound like Danilo is going to manage to start two games in quick succession in terms of his fitness. So I just wonder whether Dessers will again get the nod for Dens Park on Wednesday night and the hope that they can then get Danilo up to speed for Sunday to actually start, because you have to see the semi-final, of course, is more important at this stage to go and get to the final. But no, I think Dessers, I mean, Charlie Miller's right. No, Walter Smith would have taken him out the firing line. But as Charlie says, until Danilo is up to speed, you know, we came our roof still out. They don't have a lot of options. I don't doubt for a minute that Clement, if he had the choice, wouldn't be starting Dessers in this run of form. But he's had to since he came in. Ultimately, I think Danilo, the contrast in Dessers and Danilo between the first half and the second half on Sunday was pretty stark. And by the way, Danilo wasn't brilliant, but still the difference between him and Dessers. I mean, another point, slightly going off on a tangent, but the contrast between Dessers' performance and that of Lauren Shankland.
Oh, that was, I was going to come to that. I mean, you beat me to it. Okay.
My God. I watched Shankland. I watched Shankland closely. I mean, obviously, I've liked him for a long time. I said a few years ago, Rangers should have been in for him.
Yeah.
And I watched him closely on Sunday in comparison to Dessers, and honestly, it was chalk and cheese in terms of he's holding the ball up, his movement, he's coming off, his touch, linking up, playing others into the game, his physical strength. I mean, I thought he gave Ben Davies a torrid time on Sunday, Shankland. And that's playing in a team who didn't have a lot of the ball and didn't have a lot of chances. Takes his goal brilliantly. As I say, the contrast between that and Dessers' display for a team who actually had the ball and had lots of possession and territory was incredible. But as I say, Danilo coming on made a big difference. And ultimately, certainly while Roof is out, Danilo going forward has to be the number nine for Rangers. Yeah. It's just about them getting him up to speed as quickly as possible. And just quickly on Lammers, you're right, in pre-season he showed glimpses. I think technically Lammers is actually a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual, the actual output in terms of end product just isn't there. And he's a frustrating player. He makes a lot of wrong decisions on the pitch. He's missed gilt-edged chances in the last three or four games. You don't quite know where he's playing. He plays in the periphery of the game. It seems like every time he steps out there. Again, I think time is running out rapidly, and I don't think Clement's daft. I think he'll know that as well. And I think if he can take him out of the team and possibly get Cantwell more centrally where Lammers has been playing in the last couple of games, I think that'll improve the team as well.
Yeah, but I mean, what a waste of money, Ben. I mean, when you think
there's no getting away for that. And you're talking, I know Michael Beale was always quick to point out that the fees were inflated in the media and stuff, but
it doesn't matter what they were.
No, exactly. And listen, they might be slightly inflated. We know for a fact. No, we pretty much know for certain that £5 million between the two of them was spent in. You don't want to be too critical of Michael Beale, but ultimately, he took it upon himself to go and get the players he wanted last summer. Mm-hmm. We know that he was in Italy at least twice persuading Cyril Dessers to come to Rangers.
Yeah.
He was the guy, he was the number nine that he was desperate to get. And unfortunately, judging by Dessers' performance, I mean, if that was the guy Beale was desperate to get, if he genuinely thought Dessers was going to be the number nine for Rangers and an upgrade on what they had before, then it's an indictment on Beale's judgment, because that is miles away from being the case. And as I say, someone like Shankland is your perfect example. So you're right to go and spend that money on those two players at the moment. I mean, listen, it's still no writing MD off, but at the moment, then it looks like two really, really poor signs and money that's no going down the drain. But it's difficult even now to see how Rangers are going to get their money back on those two players.
God, do you think a Michael Beals wee dig at Morelos? Remember after the home game he put him on against, or I can't even remember who it was now, towards a couple of games to go at the end of the season. Remember, and he says, oh, I saw there was a difference that Morelos, when Morelos went on, and it wasn't a good one or something like that. Remember, it was a wee cheat. God, and now he's going and getting him. God, even a disinterested Morelos would probably have been.
I'm sure I've said this on here before, Gab, but the thing that just amazes me about the Dessers signing was that whenever we spoke to Michael Beale last season and he spoke about the type of centre-forward that he wanted, he actually talked up Kyogo at Celtic a few times as being the difference-maker for them and being giving Celtic something that Rangers didn't have. And I was utterly convinced this summer that Rangers were going to go and get a striker who pressed for the front, was high energy, pace, work rate. I'm not saying a carbon copy of Kyogo, but that type of player.
Yeah.
How he's managed to then go and get Dessers is the guy who is the total opposite. I mean, he looks less mobile than Alfredo Morelos, even at his worst.
Yeah.
I'm just baffled by that signing. Now listen, he's went and got Danilo as well, who I actually do think has some of those attributes that we're talking about. I mean, Kenny Miller spoke about this in his Sunday Mail column at the weekend. Not comparing Danilo to Kyogo, far from it. Danilo's hardly started a game for Rangers, but he's shown signs that he has those kind of qualities, the energy, the willingness to go and press defenders. And he's also shown, obviously, he's got an eye for goal. I mean, his last couple of goals, Sunday's goal and the goal at McDermott Park before he got injured were brilliant headers, real proper centre-forwards goals. So he's shown signs, but the Dessers one just, it kind of baffles me as to why they've went and got him.
Yeah. Just talking about Shankland and Kenny Miller there, but God, I remember reading Kenny Miller's column in the Sunday Mail when making the signings, and he said there's an answer just along the M8. I mean, he said Shankland even then. Many people have said it. It's just the fact it was so evident on Sunday because you had the contrast at either end and thinking, here's what we could have had.
Yeah. It's just, listen, it goes back to scouting that guy. I know that's a kind of bigger picture, but I mean,
it's the kind of snobby attitude, isn't it? With Scottish
it is, and it annoys
me. Lewis Ferguson's another one.
Yeah, it annoys me. And listen, Rangers, Celtic have been guilty of this as well, going way back to John McGinn and others. There is a snobbery around the Old Firm going and signing Scottish players, SPL players. I don't know why that is. I don't know. From Rangers' point of view, is there a kind of bitterness towards other clubs for what happened back in the day in 2012? No, but going down the leagues and stuff. No, the Rangers not want to give transfer fees to these clubs. I don't know, but we've spoken about it many times. You go back through the history. Rangers would go and get the best Scottish players from the other clubs. They would go and weaken rivals by taking their best players. I mean, they did that for many years. And that has stopped in the last 5-6 years or maybe longer. I spoke about Lauren Shankland when he was playing at Ayr United in the Championship and banging goals in. And people probably laughed, but you could have got him for absolute buttons. A bomb goal scorer, could have signed him for buttons. He goes to Dundee United, you could have probably went and got him even then when he was scoring goals in the Championship. They didn't, deemed not good enough. Goes to Belgium, does okay, and then comes back to Hearts, and obviously he's new captain, and as I say, I thought his performance was outstanding on Sunday. Come January, he'll have 18 months left on his contract at Tynecastle. Philip Clement actually name-checked him last week as a guy that he obviously had seen in Belgium for Beerschot. So it's interesting to know whether, I don't know, I mean, did Clement watch him over there? I mean, did he impress him? mean, Shankland didn't set the heather on fire in Belgium, but it was interesting that Clement mentioned him.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any doubt that the Rangers manager wouldn't have been impressed by his performance on Sunday, as I say. Or as you say there, I mean, that comparison, that contrast between Dessers and Shankland, it was there in front of your eyes on Sunday. It was so stark. So, listen, in terms of where Lauren Shankland is in his career, I still maintain Rangers should have went and got him earlier, and they've almost kind of missed the boat, I think, with him slightly. But the way Rangers' forward line is at the minute, and given what we've said about Dessers and Lammers in particular, they need someone to come in who can hit the ground running and will immediately start scoring goals. And there are no guarantees with any player, but Shankland at the moment looks as close to a guarantee as you're going to get. And it's just, if Clement does want him, it'll just be a case of how much it's going to take to get him out of Hearts with 18 months left. But I'd be amazed if people at Rangers weren't considering it at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the signing failures, or two in particular there. I mean, the one winning success, no question about it, has been Jack Butland on a free transfer. There was talk of interest, Wayne Rooney, Birmingham City, talk also of a value of $5 million. He was brought in for free. Do you see any way that the club would consider making a very tidy early profit, a kind of boom song style, 6 months down the line, bring him in for free, or no?
I can't, but you just never know, Gav, in football. I mean, you're right. Boomsong's a good example. Nothing would surprise you. I mean, Philip Clement could have a goalkeeper that he really likes, you know, back in Belgium or Holland, France, wherever, that he could maybe go and get if Rangers wanted to cash in on Jack Butland. But I'd be really surprised just for the fact that if Rangers are going to go on, you know, if this Clement era is going to be successful and they're going to improve and get better in the next couple of years and go and win trophies, then Jack Butland looks made to be the number one. And the fact that they've got him there, they've got him in a contract, and the way Clement spoke about Butland last week in the media would suggest to me that he'll be going nowhere. And the other thing is, Butland seems really happy to be at Rangers and be at Ibrox. I think he appreciates at this stage in his career how big a club it is. You know, he was at Man United last year on loan, albeit he didn't play. He's come to Rangers. He's the main man. The fans love him. Mm-hmm. He's had a great start. I'm not sure getting back to Birmingham and kind of scrapping about in the English Championship would appeal to him that much. Of course, there's the Rooney factor and there's now money at Birmingham with the American owners, but I'd be really surprised if Jack Butland had any desire at this stage to go and leave Rangers. He has spoke highly of Clement since he's come in. The manager clearly likes him. I think he's a captain in that dressing room already. Yeah. Probably along with Tavernier and Goldson, guys have already been there. So, I mean, it would be a massive blow if Rangers were to lose him. But as you say, nothing would surprise you in football if there was a huge profit to be made and Clement had someone else lined up. Maybe, but I just can't see it.
Okay, great. Right, Scott, I've kept you long enough. Thanks very much for your time as always. And now it goes at Hampden on Sunday, and catch up with you next week.
Great. Cheers, Gav.
Bye.